Welcome to Working with CFIO, Crit and Beyond. I'm Lydia Mitterlehner, and in this podcast, it's all about people who have built a life for themselves on Crit or are currently in the process of doing so. My guests are people who work here as freelancers, entrepreneurs, employees, or remote workers. We talk about opportunities and challenges, about bureaucracy, about courage and lessons learned, and about what it really takes to work in Greece and build a life here. So, let's dive into Working with CFIO, Crit and Beyond. We start.
All right.
So welcome to another episode of Working with CFIO, Crit and Beyond. My name is Lydia and today I have the lovely Anna as my guest. I'm actually very happy to have you here. It's my second interview. The rest what I did before were solo episodes and I'm very happy to have you here because you're actually one of the first persons I know here. Ooh. Because when I moved here, I can remember we started this Facebook group of the house tenants. Mm-hmm. And then I remember you wrote that your bicycle broke down.
Ah, that's right. That's right. The bicycle brought us together.
And then, yes, exactly. And then I lent my bicycle to you and so we got to know each other.
Oh, you see.
So this is how I got to know you and I'm very happy to have you here because I know that you are not this outgoing poison.
I hope I'm not a poison.
Jesus Christ. Because I know that you're not this outgoing person and sometimes also a little bit shy and a little bit introverted. So I'm very happy that you said yes to be my guest in my podcast. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And yes, I'm very shy and introvert, not just a little introvert, I would say a lot. So, yeah, but I'm happy to do this with you and just bring it on.
Perfect. So before you change your mind, I say we just start and yeah, let's dive in pretty openly. Tell us a little bit about yourself, like where are you from? What are your hobbies? What do you like to do here? Things like this. Just what you want to say.
Well, I come from Iceland, which is also an island for those who don't know. I guess everybody knows where Iceland is. But I grew up there. But about 20 years old, I disappeared from that island. And now I'm ending up here on another island. So, and it seems like I'm an island girl because I always kind of need to stay where there is sea and nature and I don't do very well in cities. But I sometimes joke about that. I think I was just dropped on a wrong island. Like the stork brought me to the world. He dropped me off at the wrong island because when I ended here, I felt immediately like I was home. So, yeah, so that's where I'm from. And you mentioned hobbies. No, what were you?
But whatever you want to tell about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a child, I was always very introvert also. I've always been. I played a lot on my own. I didn't want to play with kids. I played with animals for sure. Like I had a cat and instead of dressing up a dolly or a bear or something, I was just dressing up the cat and playing with the cat. So I
was it happy about it?
Actually, yes, he was. His name was Morgan Kane. He was named after the director, Morgan Kane. Actually, it was my aunt's cat, but I took over and he kind of decided that I would be the owner of him. And so I was always very introvert and kind of a weird child, especially because this is like 40 something years back. And if you were not like a normal child, with whatever that meant in Iceland, then you were weird. So I felt right in the beginning that I wasn't really meant to be there somehow. So yeah, I was a lot on my own and trying to find my way all up to high school, basically, like job-wise, what I wanted to study. And I started and I finished something, and then I was like, no, this is not me. I want to do something else. And so I always had this in me, like searching and looking for something else and be never stopping kind of the journey of me somehow, finding who I am, what I want. So I don't really have any hobby, sort of. My hobby is maybe just being on a journey, like seeing what comes up, because sometimes I get interest in something that I never thought I would. So yeah. I think that's, yeah, describes me pretty well. And sometimes I get like obsessed with something for a period, and then I'm like, no, this is no longer fun. I leave it and I do something else. So yeah, so it's basically just being kind of in the flow and seeing what comes. And yeah, pick out what, you know, makes me grow and what doesn't. And I think, yeah, that's kind of how I spent life.
Yeah, so you spend it in the flow. And the flow brought you somehow here to Crete, because you said you were dropped on the wrong island. Yeah. So how and when did you actually find your way to Greece?
Well, that's another kind of twist in my journey, because so I was in India, and we will get back to India probably later on the podcast, but it's part of my yoga journey to go to India every year and study there. And then 2019 and up till 2020, I was staying in India. And all of a sudden, everybody heard about this Wuhu or Wuhan virus that was going on in China. And I don't know, I somehow felt like, ooh, this is weird how all the world is kind of freaking out about some virus. When you're in India, you see so many viruses and diseases and nobody is kind of talking about it. But this was kind of blowing out. And yeah, I had just a bad feeling. So I thought, oh, maybe I should just start to look for a flight and go earlier back to Europe, because I kind of, yeah, don't know what's happening. And I had really never seen Indians. I mean, I've been traveling to India for 12 years and I've never seen them so unsettled with something. And then slowly, we started to hear that the flights were being canceled and countries were closing. And then they started to talk about the coronavirus. And anyway, I don't really want to talk about COVID because that's like a whole not my cup of tea.
But it was about the same time that it started, this both viruses.
Yes. So I kind of got into a rescue flight to Frankfurt, Germany, from India. And at the time, I was based in Berlin. But I couldn't fly to Berlin, so I was flying to Frankfurt. And I have an aunt there, the sister of my mother, lives there, actually. And yeah, so I called her and said, look, can I stay with you for a couple of days? Then I'm going to go to Berlin. And she said, yeah, sure, no problem. And these couple of days ended up to be a couple of weeks and then a couple of months, because everything got shut down in Germany as well because of COVID. And then in May 2020, when I was completely like losing hope in ever getting away from Germany, because the world was like upside down. And I mean, I was pretty calm in myself. I mean, it didn't really affect me so much, except, of course, I couldn't go and work. And because my previous years, I had just been in a suitcase traveling and teaching and, you know, doing all that I wanted to do. But I felt also charming to kind of just stop and pause for a while and just be and observe the world and see what's happening, where is the world taking me now. And then a friend of mine contacted me and said that she was on her way to Greece, to Crete, and she lived in Cyprus. And I had already been at her yoga studio for teaching in Cyprus, and she said, do you want to come over and do a workshop here or a retreat or something. We can do something here. Everything is going to be open in Greece. And, you know, the Greeks are not so nervous about this. And olla kala, like they say, everything will be fine.
This was a good beginning.
That was in the beginning. So I get a flight, and I was just happy to kind of go from this place. Not that I mean, my aunt was amazing and her husband and everything. I just, you know, I was with one suitcase that I brought with me from India, and all my stuff was in Berlin, and I didn't have anything. So talking about completely being without everything and just, where am I going? I can't go home to get my clothes. And clothes were even, shops were even closed. So I couldn't really go to the shops and buy stuff. And I wasn't vaccinated, so I couldn't go in here to do this. And it was really like, yeah, interesting time. Anyway, I took the plane to Crete, and I had been here, like I said, for 1 or 2 days. And I just felt like I had been here on this island forever. Like, I was completely home. And yeah, that's how I came here, because I was going to teach here.
So you must have come a little bit before me, because I came also while COVID time.
Yeah, we are COVID refugees.
Exactly. But when you came to Crete then, did you directly come to Kalamaki, where we live now?
No. I went to, well, I took the flight to Heraklion, which is the capital of Crete. And I knew some people already here, like my friend from Cyprus. And then I found out there was actually another Icelander living here, which is quite amazing that you would find another Icelandic person in the area that you are heading to. So, yeah, so I just came to Heraklion, and we went to the mountains. Rothia is the name of the village, and I stayed there for the first 2 years here.
Ah, okay.
So I was in the village.
And how did you finally end up here in Kalamaki?
That was because I got a job here, and for a tourist guide. It was for a travel agency in Iceland. They needed someone to, a second tourist guide. And I had never done that before, talking about not knowing what to do, where I'm going, what am I going to do. I just go in the flow. And I thought it was very interesting, like, being a tourist guide and, you know, go on trips and going to the airport and pick up groups of people and help them here to settle in and seeing this beautiful island. I mean, what could be better? So I, said yes and went to Hania. And I stayed first in Agia Marina, just in a hotel, because when I was working, I was still like just here for the season, basically. And then I was going to go back to Heraklion, which I did. But I just felt so good here in Kalamaki and Agia Marina and this area by the sea. And I had been in the mountains for more than 2 years. And I thought, now it's time to go somewhere else and just, So I found the room here in Kalamaki, like a studio apartment, and just packed my suitcase, which I had already taken with me from Germany. I still didn't have more than just one suitcase after 2 years here. And I moved here, started my day here on zero, not knowing really what am I going to do. And yeah, and met you. Even my bike broke, so I didn't even have a proper bike. So I was like, "Whoa!" But anyway, everything works out. So
interesting how it goes. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I know maybe it's a cliche to say, but personally, I don't believe in coincidence. I think everything is lined up, and if you are on your wrong way to something, something will happen that will shift it. You know, if you really are connected with you, first of all, like who you are and the flow, and you're open. Like, it's so important to just be open to whatever. I mean, there's fear that comes. Of course, I have sometimes not known even where I'm sleeping next week. And, you know, where's my next job? Where am I going next to teach? And there's so many uncertainty. But that's also what is so fascinating about being in the flow is that when you look back, you always see, hey, it all worked out. And if my bike breaks, I'm sure it will work out. If my work doesn't get my bills paid, I mean, something else will come so I can do that, so my bills will be on time. And yeah, but it needs a lot of, you know, courage, and you have to really be curious also. And nothing, no bliss will come without a little suffering. Like, you have to, you know, get uncomfortable to experience something comfortable.
Like the podcast now.
Yeah.
And this, Arne, is actually one thing that is really, I think, interesting many listeners, because when somebody hears your story, you are moving from India, you are actually from Iceland, then you go to Germany, to Berlin, then you come to Crete. It feels like you just go with the flow without having fears, without having doubts. You just do it because you feel you're guided, and this is what life brings to you, and you just do it.
Yeah.
But I think that self-doubts and fear, they are with you. Just you have to handle them, because always when you're leaving the comfort zone, it's like you feel something and it's not comfortable. You could fail, you could, I don't know, whatever, but there are these fears and these doubts. And so many people think that they're sitting now maybe in Germany or Austria doing their job. They think, ah, yes, those people, they can talk so easy because for them it's easy. They have much better start opportunities. They can do this, they can do that. They don't have these brain fucks, but it's not true. You just have to go through it. Isn't it this way?
Yeah, and fear, it comes because it's something that is unknown. Like, if you know what is in front of you, if you know what you're opening up to, then there's no fear. So the fear comes because you don't know how it's going to be to put your life upside down and move somewhere or follow what you really want to do, because maybe you don't know if it's going to work out. Like, you want to move from another country to another country. And you don't know, will I get a job? Will I get a place? Will I meet people? Will I be supported? Blah, blah, blah. And that's the fear. So the fear is talking, but not your heart and your passion. And so all these fears, doubts, and this negative thing in your life, if you are, yeah, focusing on that, whatever you resist will persist, if you know what I mean. Like, so if you put that aside and you start to just think about, oh, I'm going to move to another country, it's going to be great, and I know I will be supported by the universe, I am going to be a good person, so I know that if I do good in the world will bring me something good. If you start to focus on that, it will come. I have been in the shoes of not having money, not knowing where to stay. But I feel so fulfilled and happy that, I mean, I am just, wow, meeting all these amazing people, new cultures, new countries, new smell. I mean, I've been traveling for 20 years now. I moved first 2006 to Sweden, and then from there to Denmark. And then it just continued. And all of a sudden I was in Japan. I was in Kyoto, I have been in Canada, living with all kinds of people, both roommates or with families. And then I went to Italy, I lived in Sardinia, and I was in New York as well, Arizona. Like, the world has brought me to so many different places, and mostly because of my work, of course. Yeah, teaching yoga, it's universal, you can go everywhere. But even if you're not having a universal job, if you are sitting in your apartment, unhappy, doing your job, and you want something, you want to move to a country where there is more bright, more light, even if you have to work on a bar. I mean, I have had to work. I remember one time I was working in a car, like a van, you know, that was moving from places to places. And selling fish, like, I mean, I have a bachelor degree from the university, but hey, why not sell a fish in a van and just live some adventure? I don't want to be stuck in an apartment or a job just because my university degree brought me there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, degrees up to a point are good, yes, but if it's not nurturing you, if it's not giving you laughter and joy, and you're looking back, oh my God, I remember the smell in that van was awful. Like, but I'm so thankful for that van today, like, because that van brought me to another country that I experienced something completely different, where I was living with a rich family who had a pool in the yard. You know what I mean? Like, you never know.
Yes.
And when I'm talking to you now and telling these what I've been doing, I'm sometimes surprised myself. Like, wow, okay, really? I have been doing a lot of crazy things. And yeah, I think you have to be also connecting with the craziness inside you. Life is crazy. Who said you were put on this earth just to walk, like, walk and work and, you know, sleep, eat, work from 8 to 4? Like, no.
Yes.
For me, it's the opposite. It's like, I work a lot, but try to work so you don't really feel that you are really working. And that's, I never planned to be a yoga teacher. Oh my God. I mean, I started very late to be practicing even yoga. I was, what, 20, I think 27 or 28, yeah. And now I'm 47, you know. And I did bachelor and I did all kinds of stuff before. And then all of a sudden, I'm just in India studying. I went on my own to India, just decided to, hey, I'm going to go to this place in South India where this teacher is, who is the head of this Ashtanga yoga, which I do. And I had no idea, like, where, what I was going into. And I didn't even have health insurance when I went to India. Like, now I look back and I'm like, I traveled for all these years to India without any insurance of anything. I was just buying my flight ticket because that's what I could afford. And the rest was just gonna see how it goes. And I know for many listening to this, what I'm saying, they might say, oh yeah, okay, you know, but I can't do this. I mean, you don't have to go extreme like me and just like pack in a backpack and go to India. You know, you can just start by small things, you know. Start by cutting out, for example, people that you don't like, job that you, you know, want to downsize and find something else to that interests you, studying. Or, yeah, and just see, trust, even if you cut down your work from 10 hours to 6 hours and you give yourself 4 hours more, you know, of the day for yourself, you will find and you will feel that things are shifting and you and then slowly, all of a sudden, you just have quit the job that you don't like and you've started to do something else because you're making space for finding out what you want to do and finding out that there is more than this. So that's all I mean, I'm not saying everybody have to do like, you know, me or someone else. You do you. But for the mainstream of people, I think, well, many have responsibilities, which, okay, I don't have a husband, I don't have kids. But that's also a decision that I made.
You have a dog.
But now I have a dog. And that's another interesting thing, which since you mentioned that, as you know, and that's also another common thing we have, not just the bike, is the story of doing animal work. And yeah, like I said in the beginning, when I was a child, my best friend was a cat.
Yes.
And he was the one I played with. And I've always, I mean, there are letters that I was writing when I was 5, 6 years old to my aunt, that I'm saving a bird that was found in the yard dead. I came home with worms from the mold. I was always bringing animals home to save or, I don't know, live with me even, but not too very, very good for, like, my mother was sometimes like, no, thank you, this rat is not coming in. But even, yeah, even a mouse or a rat are, you know, life for me. So anyway, so here, when I moved to Greece, I mean, of course, in India, we also have a lot of strays. Everywhere there are strays. But I have to say, when I came to Greece, I really, it almost felt so overwhelming just to take your trash out. Is like you walk by at least 3-4 cats crying for food. And I thought, oh my God, I cannot stay here in this place without doing something. And I started just to feed some of the cats here, and then I started to find kittens, and yeah. And it's very strange because when you come here, you feel like the locals here, it's not that they don't like animals, it's just that they have so different upbringing of raising an animal and how they live. And I mean, we in Iceland would never just have so many outdoor cats and no food stations or whatever. Like, you know, when a cat is found in, for example, Iceland, he goes to a place where he gets boiled fish. You know, it's like, yeah. Then yeah, you come here different. And the cats have just so many fleas and ticks and diseases and skinny, and their fur is just, and some are injured, and yeah. So I started to volunteer, and I felt like I came to a closed door everywhere. You know, you found a box with maybe five kittens, you went to the vet, and he said, no, I cannot take these cats. And you couldn't understand. You were like, why? What do I do? Well, if everybody would bring this, the box, we would be full. So slowly after I stayed here, because in the mountain, when I was there for the first 2 years, yes, we had strays, but I didn't really see them so much because, you know, when you are in a mountain, it's more distributed somehow. But when I move here, it's like, wow, they are so everywhere. And puppies and dogs and... Yeah, so I've been doing also animal work, but I have felt lately that, you know, I felt like it was draining me because I can't help everybody. And I felt almost like had to make a choice. Will I stop helping animals altogether, or am I going to pick who is going to get help and who? I mean, I just felt like, who am I to judge? Like, am I taking this cat in or that cat in? And, oh, who is more sick and who is... It's so hard when you love animals so much. You just want to take them all.
Yes, and yes, I understand. I can completely relate to that.
You probably understand more than me because you are next level animal. I mean, I just can do so little at the time. But when I was working as a tourist guide, we all often got tips. And when we were selling in trips, we get like a bonus from selling trips and stuff. And all this I put to the side for the animals. And then when you've been doing this for a while here, you start to, yeah, know how things are working here and what needs to be done, like neutering and this and that. And so, yeah. And then I started also to foster puppies that were going to be adopted, and they just needed a place for a couple of weeks or something to, while they were waiting to get a flight or with their new owner or something. So that's how I got into also just the fostering part, because mm-hmm. I felt, oh, I can help so many with that. You know, if I don't keep any for myself, I mean, they just come and go and more are being rescued. Yeah. And then I found a puppy and tried to find a home, didn't succeed. And maybe actually she came into my life, or maybe, I mean, I think she honestly came to my life to make me grow into the next journey. Because, you know, being alone is easy. You don't have any responsibilities except yourself. And for me, it's always been very hard to commit to something like, I mean, I hardly want to have a credit card or anything that I need to be committed to, you know. My credit card, it needs to be paid at this day. And that's like, oh, too much commitment for me. Having a phone contract. Oh, can I not just get a prepaid card? Because that's easier. Then I don't have to commit to, yeah. Because I want to be able to have this space of just packing down and going. Like, I don't want anything that keeps me in one place.
Yeah.
And that can also be just as challenging as being stuck in one place. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, sometimes you have to go against your nature in some ways to grow. So when she came into my life, I mean, I am stuck. Yeah. And I'm on routine. And it's like every day needs to go out for pee and poo and walk and train. And she's a... And not only a dog, it's a big dog, which is like a working dog and a like a Greek shepherd or a mountain dog. And they actually are very intelligent, and they're super difficult to train them. And I mean, I am just a floater, a nomad who lives in a suitcase. I'm not a person who has a dog and all of a sudden this routine and responsibility. And yeah, and now more than a year later, she's still with me. And I can say that, you know, after teaching yoga for 15 years, I thought I was very zen, you know, like, oh, everything is so calm in my life. I am completely in control. And nope.
She showed you no.
This little girl, which is big now, she completely showed me that nothing was really working that I had already been working on. It sounds crazy, but all of a sudden this sometimes frustration and anger and like, ah, I just wanted to scream and like, I cannot do this. I had never experienced this side of me. So she's really, really showing me what I need to work on more. And even, I mean, I was the couple of months before I found her, I was actually planning to go to Africa because one of my friends just moved there, and I
remember when you told me.
Yeah, and I was planning to work in a school teaching for homeless kids. That was another adventure that I was like, oh my God, so exciting. And then she came into my life and I had to make a decision. Am I going to rescue this puppy or am I going to Africa? And I just couldn't walk from a life. I don't know. I just thought that I have to try to save the puppy and then I go to Africa. No, I am still here, not going to Africa. And I can see now, looking back, that it would have been a mistake to go to Africa, because after my friend has been there now, I just see that it's not the time for me. And what has happened after my dog came to my life has been amazing. I mean, I am in a new job that is online. It's like teaching and, you know, doing wellness and all kinds of different stuff. And I'm just so loving somehow to just be in one place. And there's someone there that really rely on me. It's not just the stray cats and suffering that comes with it sometimes to really take care of strays, because there's so much suffering from the strays that you get suffered, like just watching them. But there, actually, this dog, she was all in scrambled when she was found. She had cuts in her face and infested worms and stuff, so it was horrible. And now she has even scars in her face after that, but these scars always somehow bring smile on my face, because I'm so glad that I decided to pick her up and help her. And she's very spoiled and very difficult.
And very friendly and sweet.
Very friendly and sweet, yes. But she can also be, yeah, quite demanding. But it's perfect. Like I said, I'm 47. You know, I will be 50 with a blink of an eye. And it's about time I stop and just... It seems like this island also just wants me to be here, because I never planned to stay here so long. But always something happened to keep me here. And when I was about to go to Africa, she comes.
Yeah.
So now I'm just surrendering once again to whatever is. And as we know, animals can go after 1 year or 10 years or 15 years. We don't know how long time we have with them. So, but I'm also very lucky because I have a wonderful friends that live in the mountains here nearby. They are also animal lovers and rescuers and have so many animals, and they are like you, next level animal rescuers. And they sometimes take her up to the mountain and let her stay there for a couple of days. So she's like really in her nature, you know.
Yeah.
It's because I can see, you know, taking her for an hour walk here, and she's just coming home like, okay, so when are we going to do something? Like, I am dead walking 15 kilometers a day or something. And she's just like,
Come on, let's go.
Let's go. I mean, she needs to be running after goats and something for 8 hours a day. So for her, I'm doing this mostly. And also for me, because I do work and I need that space also that I talked about earlier too. You know, if you work 8 hours, please try to make 2 hours space for only you, just to be always kind of connecting and who am I, what do I want? Because I felt at a time with her, I was so maybe obsessed a little bit about like training her right, doing everything for her. It was always her and I forgot myself. Mm-hmm. So I felt I was unhappy, I was isolated, and now I just like, nope. Now you go to the mountains for 3 days. I have my break and I do whatever I want and it's perfect. So, yes. But
good that you realized that and then you go back to your middle, yes, and try to find yourself. But what would be very interesting now for me is, because I know, of course, that you're doing yoga. I know that you do the traveling guide. I know that last year, I think you were even a receptionist. Then you, yes, did some sport teaching in another hotel.
Yeah.
And now when we bumped into at the street a few days ago, you told me that you're into a new job. And you just told about it a little bit. But can you describe a little bit more what you're doing? And is it like self-employed or is it employed? And are you working for Greek people or for Icelandic people? Just a little information about it.
Yeah. So I work both for Greeks and for Iceland. So the Greeks are mostly here on the season. That's the work I do here as a tourist guide, or I go to hotels and you know, teach yoga and fitness and all kinds of wellness. So I pay my Greek taxes also. And then this new job is also yoga, but it's online only. And it's a group of different kind of people with different kind of history, if you can say. Some have maybe been diagnosed with something like a disease or ADHD or being Asperger or Parkinson or something. Like it can be, it's a very different cases, you know, and it's both from like teenagers and up to 60, 70 years old people. So it's very, very interesting because I design kind of the program for these people, what they need. So it's very much individual work, but at the same time, we are doing it in groups. Mm-hmm. And it's just a new kind of adventure for me because I am, like I mentioned, I'm an Ashtanga yoga teacher originally, which is, and I've been doing that for 15 years around the world in fancy yoga studios and not so fancy yoga studios. And have students all over the world and it's been amazing, really. But I also felt now when I get older, I kind of wanted to use this method of yoga to and combine it maybe also with some kind of not social work, but more like therapy, you know. So not just like crazy yoga like Ashtanga can be. No, it's a
I mean, saw some pictures and videos. Yes, yeah. It looks pretty crazy to me what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, even for me to look back, I'm like, wow, why was I so crazy in this? But it comes also with how you mature with this practice. I mean, you're so enthusiastic when you start and you want to follow the method. You want to follow everything and do this and go to India and do. And then you get older and you just mature and you just feel like, okay, I need something different now. I'm in a different place in my life. And I want it because basically I'm basing everything on what I've learned through Ashtanga Yoga, what I'm doing now in my new job. But it's just a different approach to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm no longer traveling and teaching in yoga studios or workshops. It's just over for me somehow. I just don't feel it's giving the job I do, it has to be giving me something for me to be inspiring. Like now I work with people who I can see that they need a different approach and it's making me also develop in a different way. And that's like I said in the beginning, I always kind of have to be exploring and developing and going in the flow. So I'm doing the same with this. So yeah.
This sounds very much like you, actually. But I'm wondering now, is this what you're doing like for an organization, or is it just freelancing, or
I have a contract with a company in Iceland that I do, and this company is focusing on all kinds of also wellness stuff, yeah, and these kind of things. So I was just hired by the owner of this company, the CEO, to take care of this part, the yoga part, and then there are other fields that, you know, and departments and everything, but we kind of try to work together with, like, a wholeness. Yoga means union of body, mind and soul. So this is so perfect because I'm working with the body who affects the mind, and then someone else, like a psychologist or someone, takes over and works with the mind, and then, you know, it just links one link from another. We are few people working for this company, and each are doing their part, and that's the union that
together
yoga means.
It's a holistic program, yeah. Actually, that's very good.
Yeah,
sounds really.
And
nice.
Now I can do it wherever I am in the world, and I just need to have power, not power cuts.
Yes, not like now.
Like
and
now,
I was
we
just
are
wondering, what is this alarm outside? Hopefully, it's not covering our voices.
I was actually thinking maybe it is the power coming back, because sometimes it hears like the power comes back.
Well, we see it's not you.
Yeah.
But
no.
Yeah, Chris always has surprises concerning power cuts,
yes,
and whatever, water cuts.
And we
whatever
are sitting here now, and it's so perfect. It's so describing for our life, like we are here scheduled with an interview and there's no power.
Without light. We would have wished we had some.
Exactly.
But it's perfect.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing now. And I can't say if I will be doing this for next years. And, you know, now I'm just doing it now. And it's good because I have the dog. I have to be here. I cannot go anywhere because I'm not going to move with 40 kilo dogs just in a suitcase, you know, I'm traveling. That's
you
a little bit.
Maybe a second.
That's a little bit too much for me. And
but it's also not impossible. If you decide to go with
course
one dog, it's doable.
Of course.
So at the moment, it maybe takes a little bit, what I have the feeling, what you're telling, a little bit of your flexibility.
Yeah.
But she also gives you a lot of things. And
now
you have this job and you're a good feeling here. And as long as it's like this, enjoy it. And
the thing is also, I think, like, last summer, for example, it was my first summer, because I work mostly crazy in the summer. Like, winters are more calm because the season is not here. And I thought, how am I going to do this with a dog? Like, how am I going to work so much with a dog? And then I just, okay, inhale, exhale. No, and then I when you're a tourist guide, we also offer a phone service 24 hours. So I got a phone call in the evening from a hotel, like, look, we have problems with the guests and da-da-da. And I took her with me. I just took this 40-kilo dog just on a leash. Let's go. We are going to this hotel. And I showed up and I was working. I took her with me. She loved it. She's very, very friendly. She's so human-centric. She loves everyone. She's not like a anxious dog who, you know, has to be with her owner all the time. I mean, I can basically leave her outside the supermarket and go in shopping for half an hour. She's just looking at people and enjoying life. Like, she's, oh my God, teaching me so, so much. Anyway, so I managed.
I still don't really understand the work that you're doing now. Is this like, you said you have a contract?
Mm-hmm.
But are you employed now in Iceland?
Yes.
They
hired me in the company, and I pay taxes there too. So I work here half of the year, basically, because the season here is maybe 6-7 months. Mm-hmm. And then I'm doing the job in Iceland.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
So, and I guess you also have the insurance then here? Because you said before when you were traveling to India, for example, you didn't even have an insurance, but here you're normally insured and you pay your taxes.
Yeah, I mean, when you come here and you want to work in Greece, you have to get your tax number and AMCA and all these things. And yes, I have that. So, but I'm not like, I don't have a special insurance to pay. It's just if I need to go to a doctor or a hospital or something, I can go to the local hospital like anyone here. If I don't want to wait a whole day for help, I I have to pay just, you know, more for a service. But
yeah, so just the obligatory one you have to have, like me, it's the same.
Yeah.
And can you remember when you were registering here and your self-employment, was it kind of easy or was it not so easy for you to do it?
No, nothing is easy when it comes to bureaucracy in Greece. Sorry, I love this country, but sometimes I came home like, really? I have to go to three places to get stamp for one small thing? Okay. No, and also because Iceland is not in the EU, we just are like having Schengen agreements and stuff, so it took me quite a while to get all the papers and everything. Yeah, but you know, if you just start and things will, you know, come together in the end. It took me almost 2 years. I wasn't in a rush or anything. I mean, the first 2 years there was COVID here, so everything was closed.
Just
nothing
made it
to
even
do.
Worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you did everything your own, all these papers, or did you have somebody like an accountant?
No.
No, all on your own. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. This is for me an extra league.
me and Google Translate. That we were best buddies when it came to. No, I after I started working here, I got like inside of Greece, I got helped, you know, from an accountant just to do my tax report and everything. Mm-hmm. One of the owner of the studio, the yoga studio that I was teaching here, he also helped me a little bit with this AMCA thing. But no, I mean, I didn't hire an accountant or anything. I just, you know, asked local people I know how to do this and went to the office and waited for many hours to do this. And yeah.
Yes.
So, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brave girl, brave woman.
Or crazy, I don't know.
Or crazy, yes. Sometimes it's only a little
the mix of
space
both
in the middle.
Yeah.
And now that we're still talking about your job and bureaucracy, what is surely also interesting for the listeners is how you found these jobs, because you were, okay, we know about the yoga, you can do it online, you're a teacher, but all the jobs that you had here and now in Iceland, did you find these jobs just mouth to mouth, or did you look on platforms, or how did you make it go that these jobs came to you?
I mean, the yoga jobs in the hotels here, they just came mouth by mouth, you know, or no, word by word. I mean, it's not, Hania is not like a huge place. So, yeah, so the yoga jobs came word from word because, you know, I was teaching in the yoga studio. When I was teaching, wanted to teach in the yoga studio, I just had seen the yoga studio and I just walked in and I said, hi, my name is Arna. Are you looking for a yoga teacher? That's how I did it. I just fearlessly went in for a job. Not that anybody was advertising, or I just asked around. The tourist guiding with the travel agency, yeah, that just came. How did that actually came? Yeah, I met some people who were traveling here, I think, and I just had this idea of emailing them and saying like, hey, I'm from Iceland and do you need a tourist guide? So yeah, I just reached out myself for all the jobs, also the job that I'm in now. I asked if they needed some online yoga teacher in this company, and they said, yeah, why not try it? And
Okay. And for all these jobs you did here locally, did you need the Greek language?
No.
No, not at all.
No, because you work so much in the tourist season and they actually require you some English speaking because they need, you know, people to speak English to the tourists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember you were also receptionist, but not even there.
No.
Okay.
because most of the guests at the hotel who come to the reception are English speaking. And, you know, it doesn't, I mean, it wasn't a require, but of course it was very good that I could say a few words and I understood a little bit, because some of the people who work at the hotel, for example, the cleaning lady and the people in the kitchen, and, you know, they don't speak so good English. So I had to learn a little bit, but God, I am so embarrassed to say that I don't fully speak Greek yet, because it's so difficult language, which is not an excuse. I mean, you can totally go on for lots of online classes and have a tutor and everything, but I just haven't given myself enough time for it. And this is also something I think now, after I saved the dog and I'm here for unknown time, I really have to get into the language. So that's my next thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but it's good to know actually that you can find jobs just by walking around and asking.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think for many people, it's very complicated in their head to find something. They have no idea how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, also the language barrier. So it's also good to know when you're working in seasonal jobs, maybe you don't even need it. So it's a good start. And now what I would be also interested, because you did some different jobs and you have different experiences, what would you say if you compare reality to your dream life or what you imagined? How is it to really work here concerning flexibility of hours or about the finances, what you earn? Is it okay? Can you live from it? Things like this.
Mm. Wow. Okay. First of all, I don't have any fixed dream life, because for me, maybe the dream is just to not have any fixed dream. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Like you said before, you go with the flow.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think also, because if you, I mean, not that I'm saying that people shouldn't dream of something, you know, I'm just saying for me, if I have too much fixed in my head how I want things to be and it doesn't go that way, I feel disappointed, and you get attached to something that I don't like. I really think that the less you have expectations and attachments, you are more succeeding in just, wow, okay, this is awesome. And, you know, and about financing my life, I mean, of course, I just think that the universe, sorry, I have to speak some spiritual things also. I just think that the universe will provide what you need. If you earn more, the expenses will be more. That's kind of my philosophy. So if I have food on the table, roof over my head, just these basic needs, you know, I don't even want to own anything. So I'm not so concerned of earning so much. If I would want to earn more, it would be to save more animals or something. So mm-hmm. I mean, I spend money on that rather than going and buying stuff.
Yes, I understand that.
You know that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just opening my clothes closet and I'm like, wow, I haven't bought clothes for 3 years or something. Like, I just, yeah, that's how I want to live. And this is not, there's no destination for me. It's just the journey. And I think maybe that's the dream, just to have no destination, just journey.
So that means to me actually also that this is your way of life.
Mm-hmm.
What brings me to the next question, actually, because this is the question I love most that I'm asking in interviews, what freedom means to you. So actually, I guess your whole life, how you are living it, what feels correct for you and comes from your inner feelings is actually your kind of freedom. Or do you want to explain it a little bit more to us?
Yeah, I think before, like when I was living in Iceland, I was always feeling very trapped and maybe searching for freedom, actually. And for me, the only way to, I mean, I moved first to Sweden, like I said, then I was in a relationship with a man who was playing football, like he was a professional footballer and he was playing for a Swedish team. And, you know, he had money and we had apartment and everything, you know, lots of stuff. And then we broke up and I packed in this backpack and went to Denmark. And in the train on the way to Denmark without any savings, you know, I just had the money in my bank account that I didn't even know how much I had because I was kind of breaking up in a rush, to say the least. And for me, the only way to, and now I just speak for personal like experience, to know freedom and to know the power of life, kind of how it can be awesome, you know, is to own nothing. Like, strip everything out of your life. Like, I felt in the train that the universe was giving me the opportunity to start on zero. It would mean a lot of, like, work and effort and unknownness and fear and everything. But I was just ready. I was just ready to do it. And I didn't. I slept on the couch at my friend's place in Denmark. I just knew that I was not going back to Iceland. Iceland is an amazing country. But I felt trapped. I felt stuck. I felt like this is not me. I never fitted in anywhere. Yeah, so for me, freedom is that I don't have attachment to anything. Like, I try to own as little as possible. But I can also say at the same time, because I have the dog now, that if, and you know, the world is going, sometimes you think upside down and this is like, okay, are we going into a war now? Are we going into this? And but I know that if I had to leave, I would never leave her, you know. She would always come with me, or I would stay, you know. I'm not going to, because we talked about earlier that I wanted to live the life that I could just pack in one bag and leave. Now I have a dog, so it's not just packing and leaving. Now I have to, okay, make sure that, you know, I take her with me or I stay. And maybe it's not as much freedom that I feel having a dog in the sense of I cannot just go. I mean, if I want to go, I have to think about more than just packing. And yeah, so I don't know. I don't really dream anything. I just live. I'm more afraid of, you know, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm more afraid of not living. And that's just the way I go. So if I want to do something, I will do it. And yeah.
Yes, I can really relate to that. And I understand this completely with this animal thing that you're not so flexible anymore. But on the other hand, you love to do it.
Yeah.
And for me, it's also a kind of expressing my freedom to have the freedom to do it, to help them, to work with them, to have them around me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think maybe it's part of the whole thing. Like we say, you know, you have day and night, black and white, sun and moon. You have to, like, if you are only, no responsibilities, only, like, in the air, it gets too much air. You know, you need something to be the yin and yang. Mm. So I know if I want to go somewhere, I can go.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's just it takes more effort.
Yes, yes.
Or more organization. Like, if I want to travel, I will have to either put her in a dog, you know, home, or somebody can dog sit for me, and, you know, but it's all possible. So even you have responsibilities, it doesn't mean that it's not possible.
Exactly. It's something, also a thing in your head
that
you say to you, it's not possible. But as I said before, if you want to go, you can take her.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, it's maybe more complicated and more difficult, but, and that's exactly where I think people, that's the what do you say, the things that stop people from doing what they want, because they think that it's going to be too complicated and too much effort and they have too much responsibilities. But like I said earlier, if you start just cutting out some, you know, people in your life, things that you're doing that it's not giving you anything, and cut that out. And all of a sudden you have these 2-3 hours more of the day for yourself. And then slowly, slowly, just like with the Greek papers. I mean, I just knew that I had to bike to this office, show my face. Okay, what's the next step? And it took me almost 2 years. And maybe it will take 2 years for someone to shift their lives to something different. That's okay. The shift doesn't have to be 180 degrees in 1 week, you know. But like I said, I am more afraid of not living than dying.
Yes.
I have no fear of dying, really. Like, if I die, I die. But if I'm here and I'm not happy, enjoying, living, of course, I'm not all days, like every day, oh, I'm so happy, you know. There are days that I'm just like, okay, this day is going to be a challenge.
That's normal.
That's normal. Yeah. And we need, again, the suffering to feel the bliss. And yeah. So, and I remember actually, Lydia, when I was starting this swimming in the sea in the winter, God, it was like so hard and painful to go into the ice cold sea. And I remember you were always like, oh my God, I am not going, when I was trying to
maybe
drag
tomorrow.
You. Yeah. I was trying to drag you and you were like, no, I don't think so. And I thought, oh my God, is this a part of like masochism in me or something? Because the bliss that came after I had been in the sea for 2-3 minutes, ice cold. Oh, it was so good.
It can be.
Yeah. So I really think that in a way you have to. I mean, you cannot experience happy days and awesome life unless you have the crappy days and the suffering of not having what you want. I mean, it's just how it is.
Yes. And then when you have the good times, you really appreciate it because you know the other sides. But generally seen as a whole, would you say you're happy now in your life?
I mean, what is being happy? Like, it's happy as a feeling. It's like, for me, it's like the wind, you know. It's there, you know, you're not unhappy. But it's not like I wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm so happy, you know. Like, we have some pictured happy feeling, you know. It's just different things give me good feelings, different good feelings. Like, some of it gives me this kind of good and happy feeling. The other, I mean, saving animals is very happy and blissful feeling. And also, after you've been suffering in the sea, it gives you this happiness and endorphin and like a happy life. But I don't know if that's like, am I happy? I mean, I'm not. It's just so much. Words can be so delusional in my head somehow. I have a hard time of like identifying everything. For me, it's just about that if I'm content, kind of like I'm enjoying what I'm doing, I am, you know, having the day that I wish to have when I wake up in the morning and I have my coffee and, okay, we have power cut and we can't make coffee. What am I going to do?
Tea.
No, I mean, I'm saying, what am I going to do? I'm not happy now because I didn't get my coffee. I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, I am very satisfied where I am and happy. Yes, I guess if that word is in, oh, now listeners are going to be like, this woman, she does not know what she's saying. What I'm just saying is that if we have, because the language can so be a barrier for us sometimes. You know, we make all these conditions into words. Just like a dream. A dream doesn't have to be a destination. It can be the journey. Happy, being happy doesn't have to be a destination. I'm happy. It can be the journey of like feeling good, feeling like, you know, supported. You have connections and that gives you pleasure, and but you don't always have to be like happy, 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 you know.
It's, yeah.
But obviously, I think that if I didn't like being here, if I wanted to go and this was not like nurturing me and giving me the life that I'm satisfied with now, then I would do something else.
Yes.
And move on. Would I be doing it so I would be more happy? I don't think the grass is greener on the other side. You take your problems with you wherever you go. So it doesn't matter where you're based, but having a little sunshine and sea can maybe help you to kind of go into that sea and feeling something different and help you. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And to me, it doesn't sound weird what you're saying. To me, it sounds more that you're very reflected and you have realized a lot of things and you're just not the person who says yes or no.
No.
You have to explain it more because you feel it this way and this is actually perfect. And I can totally relate to that because some days I work up and I feel like I'm exploding happily because I just opened my door.
Yeah.
I look outside, the sun is shining, the cats are sleeping in my bed.
Yeah.
I have that feeling of being happy. And then 2 hours later when something, let's say, stupid happens, I'm like angry inside. And there are so many different nuances of what you feel. And it's sometimes really hard to explain it in words because it's a feeling and it can change very fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, people who say, oh, I'm so unhappy, I'm so this and that. If your mindset is in that, you know, you will draw that with you wherever you go.
Exactly.
I mean, I think you even have to be happy in a suitcase, not knowing where you, I mean, happy, or you just have to feel that, yeah, this I'm satisfied. I am dealing with who I am and all my demons and the darkness and, you know, in the suitcase on different airports. I mean, sometimes I had layover for like 15 hours and, you know, you have to sit with yourself and there's nothing to do. And I mean, who are you? Like, are you going to be like, oh, this is all I got? Or are you just going to like, okay, I'm going to be very silly now and just roll out my yoga mat here and do some yoga exercises at the airport, lie down for a nap. And, you know, people are looking at you, oh, this poor girl, she's probably almost like homeless or something because I'm just sleeping there on a yoga mat at an airport, you know. But I don't care because I know where I'm going, you know, I'm going to this country and I don't care. It's also we humans, I think, a lot of humans, we are very, we need a lot of acknowledgement and that people are not judging us. And yeah, so I think that's also a barrier for you to really do you, is because you're always thinking about what other things. And I mean, I got vegetarian when I was 10 years old. I mean, nobody in Iceland was vegetarian. Like, my mother sent me to a psychiatrist. Like, there's something wrong with my child. She doesn't want to eat meat or fish. But I just didn't want to eat my friends. Like, and that was a weird. I already was out of the box and there's something wrong.
And this the place is, you were.
Yeah, and the place I were. But now it's like being vegan is like, you know, so normal. Sometimes it just takes, you know, people time to acknowledge things that you feel is right. If it's being vegan or going and living the life you want to live or whatever. But if you just, I mean, I never listened. I didn't start eating meat because everybody was yelling at me, you know, what's wrong with you? Why don't you eat fish? Every Icelandic kid should eat fish and meat. And I'm like, I ain't putting this in my mouth. All right, I go to a psychiatrist. No problem. Like,
were actually already as a child very strong to resist against all these voices and do what felt right for you.
Yeah, I think I was. Yeah, I mean, I think I was very. And this is also why I didn't have a lot of friends and I didn't seek out to be with people, you know, because I was just really satisfied with being with me as I was. And I remember when my mother was dragging me to some family, maybe dinners or birthdays or even a funeral. And I'm like, why am I going? I never met this person. Like, why do I have to go and do this? I don't know these people. Like, and she dragged me. Oh, it's an obligation. It's a family obligation. What do you think people will think of you if you don't do this? And which we all have.
Typical,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I said, okay, I'll go, but I will stay for 30 minutes, then I'm gone. And I did it. And I had to fight a lot for being who I am. And now, like, when me and my mother talk about it, I mean, she says to me now, I'm so proud of, like, being your mother for who you are and what you've done. And because I never felt that I was good enough, you know, as a daughter. I'm an only child with my mother. Because I didn't go the normal way, like, find a man, get children, house, this job, live a comfortable, stable life, do the this and that, you know. And even today, I haven't even told my mother all the craziness that I had to go through in India. You know, I'm just slowly kind of telling her, yeah, I had to kind of do this once in India. And she's like, oh, God, I'm so glad I didn't know when you were there.
I can imagine.
Yeah. But now she's like, yeah, I mean, she sees now that everything I've been doing and how I was, she's just like, wow. And there are not many who actually go this path. And yeah, you have to be having a little bit of craziness, independence, being stubborn, stand with yourself. And another thing, just maybe a little side note, because we are always so afraid of being judged who we are, what we are doing, how we look. And I remember when I was a kid, you know, I was called an elf because I had such a huge ears, like standing out like an elf. And, you know, in Iceland, we have elf and trolls. And I remember when I was 8 or 9, my mother said, okay, I'm going to take you to a surgeon and we are going to fix your ears. And I was like, do what? Yeah, you're going to be cut here.
Oh, my God.
And they're going to glue your ears back. And I just remember looking at her like, what is she talking about? And I got bullied in school for my ears. I was called Jumbo, you know, like the elephant. And then there was another guy, a famous singer in Iceland, who had a name. And I was called that name. But still, I did not go for the surgery. Even I got bullied, I was just like, no, I am not going to do this on my body and I don't want to do it. I don't care if I have these big ears. I mean, don't care. Of course you care, but you are trying to stand for something. So, yeah, I still have my big ears.
What does it before? I think you were already as a child very strong and not... Maybe. Living this conformity that everybody does because it's normal and it has to be done. So,
yep, anyway.
You got this very strong character already from childhood.
Yeah, which is kind of a blessing when you look back, right? It wasn't always easy to be this strong-minded when I was a kid.
Definitely not. I can understand that.
Yeah.
And talking about being strong and going through challenges or whatever, what you should do but you don't want to do because it doesn't feel like you. Did you also have such situations here in Greece that you would say this was one of your biggest challenges?
To stay here?
Yes, during your staying here, during your working here, your living here generally. Something that challenged you here?
I mean, daily life challenged you here in Greece because Greece is, I mean, especially Crete. I mean, I've traveled to Thessaloniki and Athens, and they are, you know, a little bit more sort of, you know, big city. And here's is sometimes you're 50 year back, you know, just the challenge that you can't flush the toilet paper. You know, that's a daily struggle for many.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? So all these like, yeah, but I was used to India, so maybe that wasn't so hard for me. But yeah, I mean, first of all, the language. You know, I wish, and but that's on me. That's not on Greece. That's on me for not being giving the time to study more Greece. The animals, that's a huge challenge. And I've often thought, like, I cannot live here because of this animal situation. Just I want to leave. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, I'm giving this opportunity to stay here and helping at least. So why not switch this negative thought that I want to go and run away from the situation instead of staying and doing what I can. But as I said earlier, I mean, sometimes it gets just so overwhelming that you get burned out and you find you have to put some boundaries as well. And like with humans and animals, of course, nobody can save everybody, but you can do a little and you do what you can. So while I'm here, I try to look at all these obstacles as something that is actually a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes the mindset already. Because, yes, power cut. I mean, what are you going to do? You cannot put the power back. I mean, are you going to be frustrated for 4 or 5 hours? Or are you just going to like, okay, now I'm just going to go for a walk, see if any of these 100 coffee places have open and I can get coffee there. Now we are doing this podcast. I mean, you just have to take it as it is. And
exactly. And try to focus on the positive side.
Always. Which I'm not always good at. I mean, sometimes I'm like, crap, it's power cut.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm like, oh, it's great. Now I don't have to work or something. You know, it can also be a good thing. You know, not that I don't want to work. It's just more that, oh, I can have an extra break now. Or,
yeah.
But I'm not happy if I have like an online, you know, life-to-life class and it gets power cut. I'm more thinking about, you know, if you have to do some assignment or something, that you can take a break from it.
Exactly. Like you asked me today, are you all settled for the podcast? Oh, we have power cuts. I said, of course, I am ready.
Yeah.
And now we're having a really good time and we're talking now for 1 hour, 20 minutes already. Yeah.
How much is left? I'm getting like spaced out in my head.
Yeah, normal space, it's all done.
Just the finals.
Yes, just the finals. And actually, I don't even know what I should ask you as final question because you said so many things already. Maybe you won't just focus at the end to one last thing as a final takeaway, let's say, for the listeners, what you just want to spread for them.
Yeah, I mean, we are all so different, right? I mean, I can say something and it won't apply to everyone who is listening. But I think that you really, really, whoever you are out there, you really have to start making space in your life to see who you are, what you want, and then take it from there. And don't let anyone, not even, you know, obligations or something stop you, because there's nothing that you want to do. If there is a will, there is always a way. I know it's a cliche to say it, but if the will isn't enough, then for sure the way won't be there. And that goes for everyone, whatever it is. I mean, it can be big steps, it can be small steps. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to continue to do it, at least, and try to inspire others to find that space in their life. No matter of all the obligation, work, children, husband, it's just priority. And are you going to set yourself for a priority or everyone else? And I don't believe that nobody was put on this earth to be serving everything else than, you know, not yourself. So, yeah, and whatever the journey is, it won't start until you stand up and decide that it's going to start. You know, it's a decision also. You don't have to be, you know, full of courage and full of knowing and full of money and security before you start the journey. Part of the journey is exactly not to have all this and see the outcome. And, okay, I think, what's the worst thing that can happen to me if things don't work out? I go back home. So if it doesn't work out, you return to what you come from, you know? We all come from somewhere. At least we have, just imagine that how lucky we are that if something happens to us, we can return to where we come from. Many people don't have that option.
Yeah.
And I feel like, wow, why did I get so lucky to actually be able to do what I want to do and be in this beautiful flow? Like, why am I the person? Like, somebody must, think that I'm on the right track, which, you know, gives me this space to do, you know? So I have to keep on. I don't want to stop.
No,
So don't stop, stand up and create space in your life. It doesn't have to be moving. It doesn't have to be something crazy. It doesn't even have to make any sense. It just has to, it has to feel that you are shifting. So, yeah, I thank you for asking me these questions and making me also review everything, you know. I mean, there's so many things more that has been on my journey, but this is a very good start because, as I said, I'm also introvert, very shy. And
it didn't seem at all. You were like talking very openly.
Yeah, but you know, I just, for me, I this is out of my comfort zone. And another thing that has been the threat in this podcast is that you have to go into the uncomfortable comfort zone to, you know, grow and experience something. And I want people to be inspired, like, because it's so, I don't know, teaching yoga for me was never about, you know, earning income or something. It was giving people tool to help themselves, you know, and that's the only thing I want to do. Like, and I don't feel the last years when I was teaching and traveling that I was working. And, you know, the feeling of not having any keys to a place, it's very weird, you know. It's like, yeah, I'm just staying at this place and then I get the new keys for the next place. And then I return the keys and go to the next. And in the meantime, I'm just there. Yeah, it feels weird, actually. And I had for many years no address. But now I'm here in Greece, helping animals, working online, living kind of rooted life with some breaks from everything when I decide to take a break. I call my friends in the mountain, all right, time to take my dog, time to close the computer and go swimming and go doing whatever I want to do. And yeah, but I decided and I created, you know, I pay my friends to take her. Like, I pay daily rate, right? And many people would maybe think, oh, I'm not going to spend money, you know, having someone to take care of my animal. But it's not about that for me. It's about creating that space to, you know, do something for me, even if it's going to cost something. I mean, money is just energy. It will come and go. So if you have money and, you know, you can spend a little bit for something that maybe normal is not to do, then do it. Like, you go, you pay someone for feeding all these colonies. Yeah, it's going to cost you some extra money, but hey, you're still going and you come back and you're recharged.
Exactly.
You did something for you.
You are not allowed to forget you with all the things you're doing in life. If you are not good, you can't help anybody.
Nobody.
And I always have this question in mind that a friend asked another friend of mine, who is the most important person in your life?
Yeah.
And he was sitting there thinking, maybe my mom, maybe my partner, maybe my dog. And then this other friend said, you know what? You should be the most important person in your life. Mm-hmm. And this is also why we should fulfill our dreams, mm-hmm. that we are feeling good and happy, and then we can also be there for others.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Amen to that. Namaste.
Amen. Thank you so much, Anna.
Thank you, Lydia.
It was a pleasure to have you here and to have so many honest insights in your life, in your working life, in your animal work. And yeah, there is just one more thing to ask. If somebody has question or maybe wants to get in contact because of yoga lessons, shall I just collect all these questions and then get back to you?
Yeah, we could also do, I mean, if people have some questions, they can send you and mm-hmm. I can reply and, you know,
okay,
we can do some platform with kind of questions and answers and how to do things. And also if people want yoga classes, they can contact me. But I also wanted to say that if someone out there wants to take a step, and, you know, both of us, me and you, we have taken the step to go, yeah, turn our lives upside down and all that. If you need help with taking some steps or some advice or just have a community, you know, do it. Contact us. Ask us. for advice, and you will be supported. I mean, I'm here if you need support, whoever you are. That's my mission, you know, to be there.
Yes, and this is also what I thought, that because I already got many questions, actually, because I made a few posts,
yeah.
People got back to me like asking for help for leaving a country or just some advices. And I think this might be also a little bit overwhelming over time when so many people are asking you things, because we're also working, we're doing our animal work. Maybe we can make another format of it or another podcast episode where we collect questions and then answer or make a post, just to make a little bit of group community.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it might be a little bit overwhelming.
That would actually be a good idea, that we collect some questions and then we meet again and we can answer those questions. Now somebody wants to come in. We are done here. Who is that? Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, that would be awesome to kind of collect the questions and then just do a short Q&A, you know,
exactly. Podcast. And if there are coming many questions concerning your work, we can maybe just make a little follow-up with you answering these
Absolutely.
Questions.
Yeah, perfect. Whatever, just don't be afraid to contact us and ask us, like, really.
Perfect.
All
so
right.
We do it this way. So yeah. I will post my email address where you can reach out to me with questions in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And we will collect everything and think about the format where we can answer this best.
Perfect.
Oh, thank you so much, Anna!
And perfect timing. Now Crazy is here to get our attention. So we have to go.
Exactly.
The animals are calling. Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you, Anna!
Bye!
If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to subscribe to the podcast and share it with someone who's dreaming about working in Greece. You'll find all links and details in the show notes. Thank you for listening and see you in the next episode of Working with CFU Crete and Beyond.